Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, the offseason from hell continues for Padres fans. Jerickson Profar, 3 years, $42 million to the Atlanta Braves. According to Jeff Sanders of the UT, the Padres weren't close in their pursuit of Profar, fan favorite, who produced with a career year in 2024. And this just quiet, terrible offseason, truly, for the Padres continues as we're just weeks away from spring training. The good news is the truck has left for Peoria. So, yeah, the truck is on the way to Peoria. So, here's the deal, Padres fans and baseball fans. We're going to be here for the next hour. We appreciate your support. We're about 75 subscribers away from 8,000 on the channel. If you wouldn't mind subscribing, if you're here live or on replay, we truly appreciate it. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. As you know, we'll get to every single Super Chat. If you want to support our work, if you want to make sure you see your comment on screen tonight, you can click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all of your Super Chats here tonight. If you want to become a member, you can click the join button down below, get custom emojis and badges. It's not overly surprising, but it's very telling, right? It's not overly surprising, but it's telling. And this organization appears to be a shell of what it was just 2 years ago, as they still reportedly, Jim, might be cutting payroll. They have not made any move impacting their major league team all offseason long. And again, the season and spring training just really days away at this point.
Well, technically, they have not cut payroll. Their payroll has actually gone up.
Right. But reportedly, they desire to cut payroll.
Yes, they desire to cut payroll. But technically, their payroll has gone up from last year's, with all of the arbitration numbers that, right, you know, they have. So if you want to go technicality, well, they've raised their payroll. but in turn, they have more holes than they, you know, can count. I figured, you know, if this team's going to be a bunch of minor leaguers, you know, might as well, you know, support the chonklas. they're not all going to be minor leaguers, but all Preller's done this offseason is sign guys to minor league deals. Anyway, I couldn't say this on the radio today because we are bound by FCC violations. But the first thing that I thought of when Jerickson Profar signed with the Braves was, fuck. I mean, that's how I feel. I'm sure a lot of Padres fans feel the same way. The dude was like the heart and soul of this Padres team last year. He had a magical season. He was an all-star. He was in the middle of, I mean, how many moments was he in the middle of, John? Like
12.
Yeah, dude. He, like every big moment, Profar was in the middle of it. And what you have lost today is more than just a guy who was an all-star last year for you. You've lost your edge. You've lost that, you know, guy that's going to be at the front of the line during a fight. You've lost that a little bit of grit, not all of it, but you've lost a little bit of grit. And I don't know how they're going to replace that. But what you lost today was more than just a player. You lost his presence in and out of that clubhouse, on and off the field. And you know, I think that's what people don't understand. And I see a lot of like overpay or well, you know, you got a good value from Profar last year. And if you said, hey, $42 million, that's a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, this dude is worth a lot. And you lost that today. And so with that being said, it is a major bummer. And it is a huge loss for this team to find a replacement for.
You know what they also lost today when I hear you go down that path and you're spot on? You know what I also feel like was lost today? I don't think it's an exaggeration. Like, it's a changing of the guard, man. I didn't want it to be true for the last year. Like, this organization is different. I mean, it's flat out different. We all see it. They can say we want to uphold Peter's legacy. Everything has changed. You can't control Peter Seiler not being here. That's no one's fault. Okay. So that's not anyone's fault. And listen, nobody was going to be Peter Seiler, including the Seiler bros, including probably his widow. Even if the team is sold, who knows what it looks like on the other side. But like, that heart and soul of the Padres, the little engine that could, will do everything that we can to win at all costs. We'll spare no expense. That 3-year run under Peter Seiler. And then we know Peter's gone, but I liked to think that like the soul of the franchise was still there in 2024. They won 93 games. AJ Preller just took a ton of credit. They were a win away from getting to an LCS for the second time in 3 years. It just feels like that's being ripped away each and every day that passes this offseason. Maybe that's overly dramatic. I'm not saying that they're not going to be a capable team in 2025 and beyond. I'm not saying they can't reach the postseason. I'm just saying the way of things earlier this decade, there's a sharp contrast in what they were doing earlier this decade in terms of spending prowess to what's going on right now. And it's just disheartening, I think. I think a lot of Padres fans were enamored with what Peter was doing with the organization, this idea that winning was more important than anything else. And it just doesn't feel like that right now. Winning responsibly, we want to win, but sustainably. I don't want to hear that, truthfully. And they have a good roster and they have good players on the roster, and they should find a way to win 85 plus games and compete for a playoff spot. It just feels like, and maybe this is stupid for me to say, I mean, Peter Seiler's gone, so of course it's changed, but now it really feels like it's changed. It's not just Jerks and Profar. It's this lawsuit. It's Roki. It's the Dodgers winning the World Series. It's just a confluence of events that feels like the organization is in a drastic change period right now.
And we're going to have to wait and see, you know, how they perform. But I do feel like pretty quickly we're going to get this vibe of like how things are going to be going. Things could obviously change, you know, but what did we say early on last year? This is different. Like within the first 2 weeks, we're like, this is different from 2023. Talking to people in that organization and then talking to people in that press box, it was very early on of like, vibe's different here. Vibe is different. And who was a huge part of that changing of the vibe? Jerks and Profar.
Sure.
And that's why losing him today is such a bummer. If he just put up numbers and was good, like, yeah, that would suck. But then you can make the argument like, hey, look, you got an all-star year from a guy on a $1 million contract. You're probably never going to do better than that. And the Braves paid, you know, 14 or sorry, 15, 14 million a year.
14 a year.
14 a year for that guy when you got maybe his best season ever for $1 million. But it's more than that. It's just, it just is. It's all the intangibles that you have lost with Profar. Profar could have a down year next year, like 100%. But you know it's not changing? Those intangibles. Like, those aren't changing. And that is what is such a big bummer here is that, yeah, his production could have gone down. He could have gone from a 280 guy down back down to a 250 guy, gone from a 380 on base down to a 350 on base and 24 home runs to maybe 15 to 16 home runs. And yeah, the production would suck, but you would still have those intangibles and you would still have that edge and you still have that grit. And now you don't.
Yeah. And I don't think that Jerks and Profar going to Atlanta is like the death of the franchise. Like, to me, it's not the tipping point, but it is a domino in a series of them that has played out in a, I don't even know, like a slow drip manner this offseason. I read what Dennis Lynn writes. They want to lower payroll, and I see their actions, which are wait for bargains. They've lost their starting catcher from last year. They're not going to re-sign Ha-Sung Kim. You can argue the merits there. I understand it. They're not going to re-sign Jerkson Profar, obviously. It's just like, at what point do the dominoes tip the other ones over? And I think most Padres fans would agree with this right now. It's hard-pressed to envision them winning 93 games next year. Now, you don't have to win 93 games to have success in the postseason or get to the postseason. I just, the way I feel right now, hope I'm wrong. AJ Preller can pull cards out of sleeves, right? He's got something down his pants, according to Mike Schill. So he's a capable general manager. He proved it in 2024. He's capable. He's going to have to really, he's going to really have to show off, so to speak, to get this team back to where they were in 2024. Vector 53, thank you for the first super of the night. We appreciate you guys. If you want to contribute and support, if you want to see your comment on screen, click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, disheartening. Wonder how FanFest will go next weekend. I think FanFest will be great. I think there'll be a lot of Padres fans and families and people looking for autographs and wearing T-shirts and buying caps. Padres are a wildly successful franchise. They're a marketing machine. It's a great ballpark. I would never encourage someone not to support the Padres, even though things aren't what they were, seemingly, even a year or two ago. But yeah, just some of the luster, Jim, right? Some of the excitement, the anticipation, the expectations. Maybe this is good for the team, truthfully. But some of that luster, some of that shine just feels like it's coming off a little bit. They'll have 40,000 people at these games. Make no mistake. That's great. But it just, to me, some of the shine is coming off with each passing day.
Yeah, FanFest is going to be crazy. Opening day is going to be packed. Downtown's going to be full. The vibe's not going to be the same. It won't feel like this is the year type of vibe. I could be wrong, but that's just, I mean, I don't think that's what's going to, the feeling of it's going to be. But this is not like Oakland A's, you know, dire straits right now.
No, it's not.
The average fan wants to go to Petco to, you know, go to a beautiful ballpark, have some really good food, really good beer selections, watch Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson Merrill play baseball and Luis Arraez. And oh no, they lost, but man, that hat, you know, giveaway was awesome. And man, the food there was great, or the suite was awesome, or man, Gallagher Square, that's a great time out. Like, they've done an amazing job of making that ballpark very, like, user friendly, to the point where when the team is bad, you still can go to Petco and have a fun time. And so I don't think losing Jerkson Profar is going to cause the fan base to all of a sudden, you know, not show up. They're going to show up, as they should. The team is going to sell a boatload of tickets, as they should. It's more about, like, not are they going to be entertaining or fun or have star players, because they are. It's about what are they doing to try to win a World Series, and that and they're not doing everything they can to try to win a World Series right now. If anything, they're doing nothing, and that's what we every day are asking and wanting to see. What are you doing to try to win a World Series? And if the answer is not everything we possibly can, then what the fuck are we doing?
I mean, to J.D. Gaucho's point, like, and thank you for the super, J.D. Gaucho, says, I didn't expect the Padres front office to be so paralyzed. That's the exact word Kevin Acey used. There are rival executives around baseball. What's that?
They froze.
Yeah, I mean, there's executives around baseball saying that the Padres aren't doing business as normal. Now, others are saying that inside the organization they are doing business as normal. But think about, like, forget about the lawsuit for a second. You still have Eric Hetsenda as the chairman. They're trying to transition to the Seidler bros or John Seidler. We don't know about this lawsuit and the ramifications. I mean, again, actions speak louder than words. You cannot convince me that this was the preferred path of AJ Preller this offseason. You can't convince me of that. Now, Peter, I'm not saying that he wanted to, I'm not saying you want to move heaven and earth and make 25 transactions and sign 8 free agents and make 6 trades, but you cannot convince me this was the preferred path of their general manager. Offseason's not over. The Dylan Cease thing was surprising when it occurred last year. It was a significant move. Luis Arraez in May is basically unheard of for a player of that caliber that far in advance of the trade deadline. I think he will try to pull off something of significance. I think a trade is far more likely than a significant free agent signing. The fact that they wouldn't reach for Profar, very reasonable deal, I think is telling. Again, I don't think Jerickson Profar is the end-all, be-all. I don't think it's the difference between a good season and a bad season. But you have to make up for Profar. You potentially have to make up for. We had Dan Zimborski from Fangraphs on today. He said the sophomore slump is real. 70% of second-year position players take a step back in WAR, and we went through that conversation here today. So unless Merrill is like Hall of Fame caliber, there's just a realistic expectation he might take a step back in 2025. And you're just asking a lot of your core. I think it's a good core, but you're asking Manny Machado to have a career year and Fernando Tatis Jr. to stay healthy and Xander Bogaerts to look like Xander Bogaerts of Boston. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need all that to have a chance to, I think, compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah. You could, I mean, crazier things have happened, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But if you're asking me right now, would you take the over or under on 93 wins? I'm taking the under.
I'll put that as a poll question. I don't think there's anyone taking the over, truthfully.
I wouldn't touch that over. I just wouldn't. You know, Schilt's going to have to, you know, manage his ass off this season. The good thing is, like, they still have a pretty good bullpen, right?
They do.
They have a really good 1-2-3 front of your rotation. You have a really good 1-4 in your lineup. And if you can get Jake and Xander to have some good seasons, I mean, you're looking at a lineup right now. Your six, you know, top six in the lineup is Arraez, Tatis, Merrill, Manny, Xander, Jake, and then a bunch of giant black holes. That's what it is. That's what it is right now. And you better hope no one gets injured, because if someone gets injured, you have no backups for them. Like that's where you're at right now. Everyone has to stay healthy. Everyone has to really have really good seasons. And then even at that point, you might not even get 90 wins. So
now, opposite side of that is Zimborski still said he hasn't run the full projections yet at Fangraphs, but he projects the Padres to have the second highest win total heading into 2025 in the NL West to the Dodgers. That's higher than Arizona. They added Corbin Burns 2 years ago in the World Series, higher than the Giants, who added, obviously, at shortstop, Willy Adames. So, like, yeah, again, there's like two sides to this, glass half full, glass half empty. I mean, the projections, which are unbiased and don't reside in San Diego, I think are still going to suggest that San Diego's got a chance to finish in second place in this division.
Yeah. Hey, look, they absolutely could. And second place could easily mean a postseason appearance. But,
yep,
you know, back to the main topic at hand, it's like a massive reason why they reached 93 wins last year is because they had this like edge to them that we haven't seen. You know, 2022, we saw it, and Profar was a big part of that for sure. But it was like to another level this past season from like, you know, you slight me? Watch this. And he'd go out and have a you know, two home run game. Like, oh, you're going to walk the guy in front of me? Boom, I'm going to hit a walk-off two-run home run, right? Like, oh, you're going to talk shit to me? I'm going to talk shit back to you.
Sure.
You know, it was a lot of that. And that's what I loved about the 2024 team was they didn't take shit from anybody. And Profar was the front of line of that. And who's going to be at the front of line this year? Manny Machado? No. Jackson Merrill? Maybe. But he's also, you know, second year player. Tatis? Okay. I just think that Profar brought something to the table that is going to be really hard to replace. And if the Padres said $14 million a year for three seasons, that's not worth it, then I guess so be it. But you also can't tell me there are people in there. You can't tell me that there's not people in that front office that aren't pissed off right now, because I guarantee you there are.
Again, I mean, I think it goes back to, it starts with Preller, and I think you and I both agree, and I think a lot of Padres fans feel the same way. There's no way this was the preferred path of the general manager this offseason, and it starts and ends there. I mean, AJ Preller is going to have to be the magician here to make this all come together. Like, this is going to be on Preller. It's not necessarily fair.
Falls on him. He makes the team.
It's going to fall on him. Yeah, the buck stops with him putting together a team that's capable of winning, you know, 88 games to get this team to the postseason. HBBBV, thank you, man, for the super chat. We appreciate you guys. If you're here, please subscribe. We're within 70 subscribers of 8,000 because of you guys. So help us get to 8,000 potentially. 70. 70 subscribers. No, 70. I know. Well, subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, whether you're here live or on replay. All right. He says, need a dog for vibes. Tommy Pham or Alex Verdugo? I mean, we lived through the Pham experiment. He's so old and tired at this point. He's put together some half seasons. He's been on winning teams. He fights people over fantasy football. I'm just kind of, I lived through it. You can't go home again unless you're Jerickson Profar for me. I didn't think the Tommy Pham experiment when he was here was a very good one. Alex Verdugo, whatever. It's a low-level signing, I would say, at this point. For the Padres, maybe it's of substance because they've done nothing. I don't think either of these players hold a candle to Jerickson Profar, truthfully, what we saw in 2024.
Verdugo had a 291 on base percentage last year. Profar had a 380 on base percentage.
So he's getting on base, you know, one more time per 10 plate appearances. I mean, that's drastic.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to give me 2021 Alex Verdugo, sure, sign me up. Where he hit 289 with a 7.7 OPS and he had a 351 on base. Like, yeah, sure. But nah, the dude, no. I mean, maybe. I mean, look, they got to, like, you know, search the bottom of the barrel, literally, to find players and hopefully they stick. Right now, the, you know, signings have been for the bottom of the barrel for minor league contracts. They haven't signed a major league contract yet. I don't count Wadey as a guy that they're like, yeah, he's gonna be a big part of this team. I know freaking Schilt loves the guy, but give me a break. And he has me blocked on Twitter, so it is.
Who, Schilt or Wade?
Tyler Wade does.
Tyler,
he has a lot of Padres. He has a lot of Padres fans blocked on Twitter for some reason. Like, my guy, you didn't do anything last year. Like, stop.
Let me check if he's blocked me. Tyler Wade @_ Tyler Wade.
Sure.
Doesn't have me blocked. He's got 43,000 followers. How does he have 43,000 followers? All right, let me get to this from Every So Often. Thank you for the super chat. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all these supers here tonight. We'll tell you about our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, in a moment as well. He says, do we know what the Seidler bros look like? I mean, they're on the internet. Like, Jim has posted their photo, I think, on, like, YouTube streams for John and Jim or the wrap-up show, like, on the, like, thumbnail graphic. So that's all I know. I would not be able to spot John Seidler out at 7-Eleven on Arrow Drive where we work. I would have no idea. But I think you've put, like, they exist, right? There's actual photos of these brothers.
I've seen what Matt Seidler looks like. I've seen what Bob Seidler looks like. I have no idea what John Seidler looks like because he's not a part of the Seidler equity firm, right? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Yes, Seidler Private Equity or something.
Yeah, he's not a part of that. So his picture is not on their official website.
Okay.
But Matt and Bob are. John is not. So I have no idea what John looks like whatsoever. Now, they all do look similar. Like, you know, you could tell they're related. But I couldn't pick John out of a crowd of two people. Like, it just.
Right.
I don't know. And, you know, I saw this comment on social media and I think I know everyone's pissed. Look, we're not happy either. We want to cover a team that goes to a World Series. Like, we want to cover a baseball team that is having a parade down Market Street. But to have the take of, like, the Seidler bros are worse than Dean Spanos is what I saw tonight.
That's a little strong.
Guys, Dean is the worst by a mile. He fucking moved the Chargers out of San Diego. Now, I know that Sheil is alleging, who knows, maybe the brothers moved the Padres out of San Diego, right? And I understand how that hits a chord with a lot of people, including myself. Like, you don't bring up relocation with a sports franchise here in San Diego ever.
Right. But they denied that within 24 hours of the claim.
Correct. And so I'll just say, like, Dean's never going to be topped in this town. You know, it's just not going to happen unless someone does move the Padres. But let's take a step back. Yeah, right now it's not great. And there are a lot of fans upset, and rightfully so. But Dean's the worst. Okay. It would also behoove the brothers.
We don't know. You got to give. Here's the one thing I'd say. Like, listen, they might sell. I'm unbiased here. Like, I'm an innocent bystander. If they sell the team and it's best, then sell the team. If they hold on to it and they can win, yeah, it's not Peter Seidler, but whatever. What do I care if they win?
Win.
If it's Sheil Seidler ultimately, and she's the widow of Peter, and she's got rightful control of the organization through litigation, all we hope is that they put the Padres in a position where they can win. I mean, that's what we all are hoping for. But yeah, I mean, we don't know anything about the Seidler brothers. I mean, you and I have both been overly critical.
Right.
But we're not comparing them to Dean Spanos. We haven't even given them a chance. We don't even know what's going to happen on the other side. And certainly they're not moving the San Diego Padres. Okay. No. End of sentence. San Diego Padres aren't going anywhere. So with that, they deserve, I mean, at least an opportunity. I mean, we have no other option. They're not selling the team tomorrow. Sheil Seidler's not going to be in control of the franchise tomorrow. The chairman of the Padres come 2 months from now. It's going to be John Seidler. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I have an idea. Here's an idea that they could do literally tomorrow. Speak publicly. Like,
they don't do that.
It's not that fucking hard. You know, you have a fan base here, and you can't tell me that they are not seeing what's going on. They have a fan base right now that is, how do I put this easily? Pissed the fuck off. And coming off of a 93 win year that you just, at one point, were a World Series favorite. You lost to your rival. You saw them go win a World Series. Then in turn, you saw them in the offseason get every, you know, top free agent imaginable. You haven't spent any money. You know, Peter's, you know, widow has sued you. You only have responded and spoke publicly because of that lawsuit in response to it. Wouldn't it be, like, I don't know, good to speak about the team? And also, when you speak about the team, I don't want to hear this shit anymore about Peter Seidler's legacy, how you're trying to uphold that. Because you're not. If you're going to use those words, then you better act. And you better do things that Peter would have done. Because that is upholding someone's legacy, is doing what that person would have done. And you're not doing that.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, the truth is, like, and I'm with you, and I understand the criticism, and I get it. People are pissed off. They're not even in control yet. Like,
right.
Eric Hinsen is still the chairman. I get it. I don't think they're all of a sudden, the day they get control of the franchise, trading for Francisco Lindor and signing Pete Alonso. But, you know, what I would say, even with people being pissed off, and that includes myself, and I probably already have an opinion on them in ownership, but I mean, what's fair is fair. I mean, they probably deserve an opportunity to see if they can run this organization successfully or not. Let's get to some of the super chats. Andrew PA, thank you, man. He says, bless the 7% who voted for the over. No chance in hell. I mean, let's be honest. If I had $1,000 right now and I had to place it on over 93 wins, under, I would likely be out $1,000. I mean, correct, they're going to win 94 games. They just had the best second half in the history of the franchise. Are they really winning 94 games in 2025? And again, like you said, we want to see them win. We talk about this every single day on the radio. We talk about it every single night during the season on the wrap-up show. I don't want to see them go 62-100. By the way, they're not going to. They're not.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They're going to be good. No. Not going to be bad. If nothing good-ish. Else, they should be competitive.
Yes, that's the word.
But 94 plus wins is a lot. Albert, thank you. And thank you for the appropriate super chat. He says, F the Dodgers. We appreciate it. Let me get to a few more here that are rolling in. This is very generous. Longtime supporter, supporter of the wrap-up show. Thank you. Can we get some clap emojis for Where You At Productions? He says, so much for this organization's motto for wanting to sign players who want to be here. This sucks. Profar was one of my favorite players. He was the soul of the team. It's hard to replace that and his production. This sucks. That's an awesome, awesome super chat. Yeah, Profar seemingly has wanted to be here, and he probably would be here if they had $40 million for him, but they clearly don't. They clearly don't have that money.
No, and that's a direct quote from AJ after Roki Sasaki went to the Dodgers. Yeah, like, we want players who want to be here. Profar absolutely wanted to be here. You drop a three-year, $42 million contract in front of Jerks and Profar, he's signing with the Padres. Like, that's my guess. And it does suck because Profar was a lot of people's favorite player. You know, he was the soul of the team, and you lost that soul and you lost a bit of your heart today because he just brought things to the table that, like, you just can't see in a box score. And yeah, it is going to be hard to replace his production because the last two seasons, left field has been a plus. Like, you know, I know 2023 sucked, but you had an all-star left fielder. 2024 was great, and you had an all-star left fielder. So the last 2 years in left field, the production has been like all-star plus level. And now how are you going to replace that for a third year? You did it last year and you got kind of lucky, but how are you going to do it this year? And
Tirso Ornelas.
Okay. If Tirso Ornelas becomes an all-star, then Jersey in
then
the
we should court, shut up. We
then we'll shut the fuck up. Yes.
We'll shut the hell up.
But yeah. You know, like you say, John, how hard is it to, you know, have lightning strike? Not once, not twice, but three times.
I mean, I just think they're asking for a little bit of rough water with the way they've treated this offseason. And I do listen, offseason moves don't change what they have. Like you said, good bullpen, good starting rotation and at the top of it, obviously. Sure. Four or five hitters that are capable of being in the middle of any lineup in baseball. When you talk about
a really good top four guys, really good
Fernando, Luis. But again, complete rosters. This is something that AJ Preller has not always excelled at. I think he did in 2024. But if this is not going to be a complete roster, then they're going to be exposed over the course of 162 games. Johnny, man, thank you for the super chat. We're going to take a pause on supers for a moment to get to Mark Nimitz in a second. But I do want to thank Johnny for the super chat. Guys, we're going to get to every super chat tonight. If you want to contribute and support, click the dollar sign below the chat box. We're less than 70 subscribers away from 8,000. So if you're here live or on replay, please subscribe as well. He says, I think because of this is an interesting, interesting super. I think because of the current ownership's lack of spending, they will cause Preller to not want to stay, let's say past next season, even if they offer him an extension. We kind of were beating around this bush a little bit today, Jim, just briefly on John and Jim. Like, it's not some foregone conclusion that AJ Preller's just going to be here for forever. It always used to be like, is he going to last? But what if he has options? And what if he isn't aligned with the future direction of the organization? Again, that's all speculation. So, I mean, I'm not going to go fully deep on that and be like, he's out after 2025. The Seidler bros are in charge. I mean, we don't know that, but I mean, there's at least a possibility, I guess, that as the organization structure changes, maybe AJ Preller will look elsewhere at some point.
Didn't you find it kind of interesting that coming off of easily his best year as general manager, he didn't get a contract extension? And to top it off, the contract extension they gave to Mike Schilt is not matched up with Preller.
Right.
Like, that's a little weird to me. I'm not trying to, like, you know, play conspiracy theorists here, but it's just weird. Like, you've given him a contract. Now, this is when Peter was here, but the organization has gave Preller a contract extension, I believe, after 2022, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, after they went to the NLCS, yes.
Right. And this year, you had the best regular season since 98. And you don't get another extension to line up with Schilt? So right. I find that to be weird. I don't know what his job security even looks like. Maybe he doesn't want to deal with this anymore after 2026. I don't know, but it just, I found it weird how he did not get a contract extension after last year. Mike Schilt did, and his contract runs longer than Preller's does. Now, maybe there's like a secret deal and no one knows about it, but I feel like that would have been reported on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird.
No, I think we would know. I think out of Kevin Acey, Dennis Lynn, AJ Cassaville, why is it a secret? What? Why is it, you know, I mean, to your point, like
no need to like report it. Who cares? I don't know.
I mean, maybe we find out the first day. Listen, we're going to hear from someone the first day of spring training. And it might be the last time we hear from anyone for one full year. Because that's what happened last year with Eric Hetsenda. We're going to get back to the chat. Please subscribe. You're on content for baseball and Padres fans. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them coming up momentarily. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We can't do this without the support of Mark Nimitz. Obviously, insurance is on the minds of a lot of people in Southern California. If you have any insurance need right now, get in contact with Mark. Let him take care of you. Homeowners, renters, auto, home, life, business, right? Whatever you need. I've got three policies with him: earthquake, homeowners, and life. And you can as well. He does auto as well. But I had to file a claim a couple of years ago. We had a flood in here, of all things. Now it doesn't even rain. But he's going to take care of you. I mean, he saves us so much time and money. He's a great insurance agent. He's a San Diegan. He's a lifelong Padres fan. And he's just a great insurance agent. You can take it from us. Anytime you need him, he's there. I've called on Mark a million times. He's been on flights to Hawaii. He emails me back immediately. I needed a driver's license number when I lost my driver's license. He had it for me immediately. So if you're looking for a great insurance agent that supports this channel and is in Southern California, if you have any need, let Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance take care of you. Click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, all this information is in that ticker right there, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. We know Mark is watching right now, probably in the chat. So when you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
Appreciate you, Mark. Appreciate everyone that is here. Let's get back to some of these supers. Please subscribe, and thank you for the super chats. As we haven't even discussed the true impact of Profar departing, what it means in the National League. You're competing with Atlanta to get to the postseason. How do you replace him? All
That's
of that
part of it, yeah.
Yeah, all of that for later tonight and certainly the days ahead as well. Richard is a longtime supporter of this channel and a Dodger fan, but we appreciate you, Richard. And he comments that the biggest FU to the Padres fan base is not being transparent. We've been talking about this. Where's the postseason revenue? 60 sellouts. Where's the revenue? San Diego fans need answers.
They're never going to open the books ever. Never. They're never going to be transparent in that way. But Richard is right. You know, not hearing from whoever's in charge creates uncertainty, and it creates a tension with inside the fan base that is just getting worse and worse with every non-action that they have and every move that is made around them. Like, you could have really quieted down this anger and tension if you made a move. If you gave Michael King an extension, if you did sign Jerkson Profar today. The Roki thing, that wasn't up to them, you know. But if they landed Roki somehow, that would have quieted a lot of things down. But they haven't, and I don't think they will. And hell, their next move might be trading Dylan Cease. You think that's going to make calm things down? Like, hey, don't we cut payroll, but you know, and we got Christian Vasquez, and we got a couple nice prospects, and yada yada yada. Like, that's not going to help anything.
Well, and also, like, I read yesterday, I got a little excited. I'm like, Christian Vasquez, but it was like the Mike Clevinger tweet. Hey, right. We've signed Mike Clevinger. He's out for 2 years with Tommy John. Hey, they're interested in Christian Vasquez. I'm like, all right, slight upgrade there. Veteran catcher that's had some good seasons, good defensively as well. Oh, by the way, part of the Vasquez deal would be moving Dylan Cease. I'm like, I don't want to fucking do that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Stupid. Well, but there'd be prospects. We had Dan Zimborski from Fangraphs on, who all he does is crunch the numbers. He's not worried about anything else. He's not worried about what the fans think or what you and I think. He said trading Dylan Cease in the short term is not going to be a win. There could be productivity on the other side if you get the right players back, but you're now talking about 2026 and beyond. no one here that is watching tonight on this January 23rd is worried about 2026 right now. Now, I get it. 2026 has value. It's relevant. It's not that far away. But I'm worried about 2025 because Manny Machado in 2026, right? Like, I'm worried about Manny Machado in 2025. Like, he's here to win now. Same thing with Xander. Same thing with you, Darvish. And you get the point.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, if you're going to move Dylan Cease, they move Juan Soto. I didn't love it. They got better. Credit to AJ Preller. If you're going to move Dylan Cease, I need to know that I'm getting more than just Christian Vasquez at the big league level in 2025.
If they're a bad team, I'm all for it. Like, go ahead. Yes, that is probably, to me, would be number one priority. Get as much as you possibly can back. They're not a bad team. They were on the doorstep, it felt like, of a World Series if they got past the Dodgers. And you still have a really good core. I mean, they are going to polish this thing up as much as they can going into this year. You watch. They're going to polish this pile of shit offseason into, we have a great core, which they do. We have a bunch of young guys that we believe in. Okay. You know, we're going to give them opportunity. Okay. Like, that's what's going to happen. And right, it's not, I don't know if it's good
enough. Yeah, again, it's like two things can be true. You could have a bad offseason but still have a good team, or you can have a good offseason and have not a great team. The Padres are like living proof of all of that. Winning off seasons, losing seasons. Like, the AJ Preller is like the spitting image of, like, I win an offseason but lose the year, or I lose an offseason but win a year. They have been an up and down, the true definition of an up and down franchise under AJ Preller. Look at the odd and even years since 2019. 2019, ridiculously terrible finish in Machado's first year. 2020, hey, look at us. We're relevant in COVID. 21, what a joke. Machado with Tatis in the dugout in St. Louis. What an horrific finish. 2022, they're in the NLCS. 2023, are you kidding? With Juan Soto, they go 82-80 and are out of it in September and would have been 10 games under 500 if not for September. 2024, 93 wins, competing legitimately for the division, leading a series against the Dodgers at home for game four. I have no clue, nor does anyone really, what 2025 is going to bring. Padres Burner, thank you for the $2.69 super. We appreciate you. He says, Seidler/Scheel own 45% of the team. The owner of what, the Mexico City club, Hilu, has 15%, according to the super chat. Who are the other owners? Who knows, man? There's minority owners. The controlling ownership right now is the trust. It's the Seidler bros. Okay, so I don't know if they have 10% or 45%. I know it's more than any other person's percentages. So they have the controlling ownership, the Seidler bros and the trust. Yeah. So to me, that's what matters. There's definitely minority owners. There's absolutely people we've never been made aware of, Jim. It could be someone with 1% of the organization. We have no clue who that is. But I know this. The Seidler trust controls the Padres today.
Correct. And John is about to be voted in as the control person of this franchise come either beginning of February or middle of February, sometime in February. He will be voted in as the control person of this team. I don't know if that can be blocked or stopped because of this lawsuit. Not a lawyer. But as of right now, doesn't feel like there's much stopping that from happening. And once that happens, I mean, hopefully we hear from John and see John. And I don't know how that's going to come across. Because right now, really no words are going to calm things down. Only actions will calm things down. And they've done nothing. So,
And we honestly, we're the hardcore. If you're here live or on replay, again, to our earlier point, the people at FanFest aren't always here. The 40,000 people that are at the ballpark, we're catching the 10%, right? The hardcore, passionate,
the upper level, fan. The 305s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're representing like the voice of like the true fan. But then there's the casual. They're not fully aware of the inner workings. To Jim's point, it's 71 degrees out.
Yeah.
The hot dogs are good and the beer is cold and the ballpark's great and Manny Machado's Manny Machado and they should be winning.
Yeah.
And they should be winning 85 games plus. Like, they're not going to be a bad team. So, like, again, because there is a lot of legitimate concern, that doesn't mean everyone is concerned. You walk around the streets of San Diego. I don't know if everyone is aware of the inner dynamics of what's going on right now with the San Diego Padres. D. Lee, thank you. He says, we are seeing the Chargers 2.0. Guess we got hockey. What do we have? What do we have hockey-wise? The Gulls? We love the Gulls, but I mean, we don't have an NHL team. And but this is not Chargers 2.0. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, this is not, you know, thank God Peter signed the players when he did. Because could you imagine if they didn't? These guys aren't resigning here. They're not resigning. Yeah. And, I mean, imagine if they didn't resign Tatis, or not resign him, but if they didn't sign him to that long-term deal, what year would we'd be maybe going into his final year as a Padre? Right?
Tati?
If they did not give him that contract extension.
No, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. He'd be gone. He's played 6 years.
Okay, so he'd be gone. Manny's gone. Joe would have been gone. You know?
Yeah, they wouldn't be very good.
No, so like, yeah, you know, some things Peter did, I disagreed with now. I mean, hindsight, but like that Xander deal, awful. The Manny deal had to be done at the time, but that thing's going to turn into a disaster contract. And if Fernando Tatis could just stay fucking healthy, then that contract's fine, but he can't.
I mean, last year on opening day in Korea, he had a broken leg, essentially. Yeah. So a stress fracture in his leg. Now, to his credit, he somehow produced for weeks on end with a broken leg. He then missed months, and then he came back and he terrorized opponents, obviously, in the postseason. You're right. I mean, if he plays 150 games for the first time in his career, he's capable of doing something few Padres hitters have ever done, like hitting 45 home runs in a season. I mean, he did it in 2021. Playing fewer games than that, but got to see it. We just got to see it with our own eyes. I'm not going to sit here and be like, he's playing 155 and he's hitting 44 homers and driving in 133, because he's in his seventh major league season and he's never played 155 games. So why now? Prove us wrong. Go out and do it. Play every day. Produce all season. Be a leader. Show that you fully turn the page from everything that transpired when you were a younger player, which, by the way, I think he's done a nice job of doing to this point, but point everything in the right direction, put winning above all else, carry the team. Fernando Tatis Jr., if I would have told you in 2019 and 2025, what is Fernando Tatis Jr., a lot of people would have said he's a star of stars that is carrying teams. He's a winner. He's going to produce. He's only lived up to some of that. He's shown it all, but he hasn't consistently shown it all. It is now time. You're in your seventh season. You're getting paid like you're a top five player in the sport. Go be that player for 162 games.
Yeah, same with Xander. Like, show up, bro. You know, I think you are a great clubhouse guy. I love hearing you speak. You're very accountable, right? But if you're not going to produce, you just are another. You're just a bad contract walking. And that's all you're going to be remembered for here in San Diego is that awful contract if you don't start producing. You know, Fernando Tatis Jr. is right now, you think of Tatis, you think of a guy that's always injured, can't play. You know, Manny's the only really guy that's posting and living up to that deal. That's it. But with the loss of Profar now, like, think about this, John. Last year, they had an outfield of all-stars. Left field, center field, really? Right field. All of them were all-stars. And if Jackson takes a step back, which there's a high likelihood that that could happen. Hope it doesn't, but there's a high likelihood that could happen, whether it be a little step back or a giant step back, whatever. You're going to need to have Tatis step up and just have a, like, 2021 type season. And if that doesn't happen, then you're going to have a dude in right who's injured and can't live up to his potential. You have a dude in center who is still very young, but also very talented. And if he gets better, then You know, his contract number is only going to go up. And you have a Grand Canyon size crater in left now.
All right, let's get back to this conversation.
Other than that,
yeah, because there's a lot there. Guys, MOVAGlobes, all right?
Oh,
baseball
baby.
Season is truly around the corner. I mean, the Padres truck is right now driving to Peoria. They probably have a phone pulled up watching the wrap-up show. They got bats
the truck's
and balls
on the
and whatever else. So the truck's on the way to Peoria. Pick up a MOVAGlobe. Great company. San Diego-based. This technology, where these globes spin automatically with artificial or natural light, was invented in Cardiff by the Sea, North County here in San Diego. These are officially licensed. They have all 30 major league teams. And for our viewers and listeners on the podcast, take 10% off with promo code PWS10. Click the link in the description down below. Padres fan, Red Sox fan, Astros fan, Dodgers fan, whatever you are, Mariners fan, who cares? It could be for you, your brother-in-law, your sister, your dad. Pick them up. Great products, super cool company, no cords, no wires, great keepsake, desk item, birthday gift. These are great for the baseball fan in your life. To kick off 2025, use promo code PWS10. That's PWS10. Click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, cheer yourself up. Get a MOVAGlobe.
That's right.
That is the best way to cheer up the depression, which is going on right now with Padres fans, is buy a Padres MOVAGlobe. And use our promo code in the description below. Get one today. And if you're not a Padres fan and you're just watching us because you love baseball, that's great as well. They have every single team as a MOVAGlobe. So you can pick up your favorite team's MOVAGlobe today. Use our promo code down in the description below.
I don't know. I have been kind of like, it's kind of like Debbie. I cover this like Jim. I mean, we live this every day. And it's like, it kind of is depressing. Now, it's only an offseason. They haven't lost anything. They have the same record as the Dodgers starting the year. You know, they haven't lost anything, but they haven't seemingly gained anything. And it's fresh. We were sitting there game four of the freaking NLDS with hopes and dreams in front of us. And I just feel like a lot of it has been dashed. Maybe that's more the fan in me. I don't know if it's truthful or not. Maybe Mike Schilt and AJ Preller and this team put together a very comparable year and challenge again and get to the postseason and are in a great series with LA. I don't know. It's just covering each and every day. It just feels like they're staying the same as falling behind. And they are certainly staying the same at best. At best, they are staying the same, but truthfully, they're falling behind.
And we've gotten this a little bit like, guys, just be grateful. Could you, like, remember back in the, like, Morad days and John Moore's, like, this team payroll was like $40 million. Imagine back then if I said the Padres payroll is $190 million and we're complaining about this team. Blah, 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 blah. You know what changed is expectations. Thank God. Because back then there was not a standard of like, hey, let's go for a World Series. It was, we have a nice ballpark and we'll have a couple of players on the field and whatever. You know, the standard has changed thanks to Peter. And that is part of his legacy. Is he has taken this franchise as a just whatever and put a standard on it of, going to work every single day. If you work for the Padres with one vision and one goal in mind, which is how can we win a World Series and what can we do to win a World Series? And that's where our show and what I think Padres fans have morphed into, thank goodness, is not accepting mediocrity. Like, this is now a franchise that is singular goal is to win a World Series, and they have huge contracts to prove that, at least like for their vision, right? You don't have the Rockies with like three $250 million contracts on there, and you just don't. Padres do, and that means that they expect to win. So going forward, if we're a little upset, sorry, but there's expectations here now and they got to be upheld. So accountability is a big thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm good. Kristen just, what's it called? What's it called that helps you sleep? You know what I mean? No. What's it called?
Melatonin.
What is it? No. What'd you say?
Melatonin.
Melatonin. Yeah, melatonin, I was going to say. Okay.
How would it take a 25 milligram gummy?
Yeah, and like die?
No, she would pass out so hard.
It's a little intense, dude. 25 grams, relax. Like she was, she would not wait. Like she would be waking up like a day from now.
It feels okay. So good though.
Oh, you know what I was gonna say? So there's this long Jeff Passan piece on the doc. We knew this.
How many times I've yet to read it.
I can't wait for the behind the scenes in Roki Sasaki's sweepstakes and how the Dodgers landed. And his big takeaway was it wasn't about Sasaki, but it was about all the Dodgers spending prowess over the last like 13 months, the Otanis, the Snells, whatever else, Teoscar Hernandez, whatever, Yamamoto, right? Lauda, yada, yada. Yeah. And it was the Dodgers aren't the problem. It's Major League Baseball's problem. The Dodgers are just taking advantage of these issues within the CBA. Okay, I buy it. I'm not going to push back, whatever. We can have that conversation for another day, like when the CBA comes up. What can we do about it? It is what it is. But in this article, Jim, I'm shocked I didn't bring this up on John and Jim. In this article, listen to, you haven't read this. Listen to this. So he's talking about how he meets with the Blue Jays, he meets with the Dodgers, he meets with the Padres. Listen to this paragraph. The visit to San Diego left the Padres similarly assured, as in all these teams are feeling good. Star third baseman, so this confirms this stuff, dude. Star third baseman Manny Machado held a gathering at his house where a Japanese chef cooked familiar cuisine for Sasaki. Jackson Merrill, the Padres' 21-year-old center fielder, expected to blossom into a superstar in the coming seasons, attended, as did Ethan Salas, the 18-year-old catcher, seen as a linchpin in future seasons. And San Diego had an ace in the hole, Yu Darvish, the, I don't even know what word he used here, whatever, like the godfather of modern Japanese pitching, whom Sasaki regards as a mentor with peerless, or it's peerless knowledge, whatever the hell that means. So that confirms some of that like speculation, like, Manny had Sasaki at his house and they were eating Japanese food. Like they rolled out a red carpet at Manny Machado's home, brought in a chef to prepare Japanese cuisine. They had Yu Darvish there. None of it mattered.
Got a nice meal, probably.
It was probably, can you imagine what that meal cost?
Imagine that.
30 grand or something.
Well, they did what I wanted. I said, look, roll out the red carpet. I want Manny. I want Merrill. I mean, obviously Darvish. Like, I want everybody. I want the big guns. I want everybody there. And good on them. They did it. But it didn't mean shit because you're going up against Otani and the Dodgers and Yamamoto. And I'm sorry, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, and they also had like Magic Johnson giving him like custom like Lakers jerseys and you know, Mookie Betts had like a 10-minute long speech prepared for him, and they probably have the World Series trophy at their dinner table. It's like, yeah, you can't get that.
Just hear me out for once. Let me just read this, Jim. I mean, it kind of is going to piss everyone off, but I mean, the Padres kind of did this spending for like 3 years, but they have
everyone's already mad anyway. So
listen to this. So in the last 400 days, this is what they've done: 700 million Otani, 680 deferred, 137 a glass now. 325 to Yamamoto, 140 to Will Smith, 50 deferred, 182 to Snell, 66 deferred, Tommy Edman, $74 million, 25 deferred, Conforto, 1 year, 17, Trinan, 2 years, 22, Teoscar Hernandez, $90 million, 32 deferred, Hi-Sung Kim, no, not Ha-Sung, Hi-Sung Kim, 12 and a half, signed Sasaki, Tanner Scott, $72 million, 21 deferred. It's in the last 400 days.
Is that good?
I mean, Lord. Now, credit to Preller for some of the trades, a rise and cease. Okay, keeps you on the in the headlines. But, I mean, that's not even comparable, obviously.
Yeah, I put the spending, or the lack of spending by their teams, on those teams, not the Dodgers.
Right.
Like, that to me is an easy one. The deferral stuff, that's kind of crazy to me. There's got to be something in there. Like, that is ridiculous. That's the part where I'm like, okay, that's where the Dodgers are cooking the books, and how is that fair? Right? even though all I hear from guys like Dallas Braden and you know, fucking what's the Verlander brother that
Ben
Verlander, who like, oh my God, any team could do this. And I know Anthony Santander today deferred a shit ton of money from the Blue Jays contract, but like the Blue Jays don't have $1.3 billion deferred. They can't do that. Dodgers can. And that's where I get upset with the Dodgers. I don't get upset that they're spending money. Like, they have money. Go spend it. The Padres did the same thing with Peter. Peter had the money. He spent it. Loved it. It's the deferral part of it where I'm like, how can you do this? Especially with Ohtani. The Ohtani thing is insane and gives the Dodgers such a huge advantage. But when it comes to like just spending money in the offseason, regardless if it's deferred or not, yeah, that's where I put the blame on every other team's owner for being cheap.
And again, we're so close to LA and we cover the dynamic between the Padres and Dodgers. They met three times in the postseason the last 5 years. They're not the only team. The Mets are spending. I mean, come on. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
$750 for Soto.
And the Blue Jays are trying and the Giants have been more aggressive. And even Arizona spent $200 million on Corbin Burns. So, but the Dodgers are the primary example because they're winning and they're spending. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're the primary example. And we all celebrated the Padres spending over the beginning of the decade. Like, and I'm all for it. I'm clamoring for more spending. So I'm not going to say, hey, it's unfair that the Dodgers are spending.
Right.
But I do think there's some of it where it's like they already have advantages and they have further advantages with some of these extreme deferrals. I mean, the Ohtani deferral, like, let's not kid ourselves, even if you're a Dodger fan. The 680 deferral and then the AAV number's 46, not 70. Like, we're playing games here. Yeah. Like, and maybe they're playing chess, you know? And again, is it within the rules of the CBA? Sure. I'm not saying that they're doing something that's not within the rules of the CBA, but I mean, again, you have advantages being in Los Angeles with that ownership group. Do you need to take advantage of the advantages you already have to continue to run circles around baseball? And by the way, I'm not saying going into the year, like, let me make this clear. For those that are disillusioned, like, why even watch? The Dodgers are just going to win the World Series. I do not feel that way at all. I've watched baseball my whole life, and it does not work that way. It's not to say the Dodgers aren't going to win the World Series. They may. But even if they are a favorite, even if they have a 25% chance of winning the World Series this year, or even 30, that means there's a 70% chance someone else is winning the World Series. So there's an overwhelming chance that someone other than LA wins the World Series, even if they're the predominant favorite heading in, as a 25% chance or 30% chance of winning back-to-back World Series. So that's just, you know.
I see a lot of that too, of like, I'm not watching baseball anymore.
Okay, you are.
Yeah, you're going to watch baseball, and we're all going to watch baseball, and I'm going to love it because I love baseball, and it's not going to stop me from watching the game. Like, you know, imagine thinking to yourself if, like, you know, opening day rolls around, Padres against the Braves. You're like, I'm not watching the Padres game because the Dodgers. Like, they're not playing the Dodgers. Like, what? You know, they play the Dodgers 12 times, and you're playing for a wild card spot. You know, that's something we didn't really hit on, is like Profar going to the Braves doubly sucks because he goes to a team that you're directly going to be competing with for a wild card spot potentially this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Juan Soto's gone to the Mets, another team you were probably going to have to compete with for a playoff spot potentially. Phillies are there. Right. You're going to have to compete with them. The Diamondbacks have Corbin Burns. You're going to have to compete with them. Giants, I don't know, but still, they can be feisty. You got to compete with them. Like, I'd much rather have seen Profar, if he was going to sign here, go somewhere, like, if go to the Blue Jays. I'd much rather have seen Soto go to, you know, the Yankees, back to the Yankees. Right. Those two moves, you're like, and Corbin Burns as well, you're like, well, that makes the National League that much better, and the Padres not doing anything makes it even more shitty.
Oh, it's a fair point. We do want to remind our viewers that are here right now live or on replay that conference championship weekend is this weekend in the NFL, and baseball is coming just weeks away from spring training games. Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. And listen to this. If you use promo code PODSWRAP, P-A-D-S-W-R-A-P, for our viewers and listeners, you're going to get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. Their best offer ever. Plus, a free gimme first pick. What's a free gimme first pick? I'll give you an example. Patrick Mahomes, higher than a half passing yard. You should feel good about it. He'll likely throw for 1 yard against the Bills this weekend at home. So they're giving you one. You just need to hit on two picks to win. You can win up to 1,000 times your money in a single night. NFL, Major League Baseball, obviously coming this spring, NBA, NHL, whatever your sport is, college basketball, shoot. Underdog Fantasy couldn't be easier, couldn't be simpler. You can win huge money. We have. Make sure to use promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Click the link in the description down below. Get a 50% deposit match plus a free gimme first pick. Take advantage this weekend. Conference championship weekend is here. We're just hours away from deciding who's in the Super Bowl.
Chiefs, Eagles, once again, it's hard to bet against the Chiefs. And that's our NFL talk on the wrap-up show.
Scan the QR code that's on the screen over Jim's head or click the link in the description down below. Use promo code PODSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP. Get a 50% deposit match plus a free gimme pick at Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Tomorrow might be the big movement day. Is tomorrow moving day?
I don't know. Remember what I said last week? I'm like, there's going to be I feel like there's going to be a domino of moves after the Sasaki signing. And look, hey, if they sign, you know, Profar and they give King an extension and they make a trade for like a pitcher or a catcher, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. Nope. Nope. Hasn't happened. Nope. Nope. I mean, they're most likely going to go to arbitration with Michael King unless something happens. And that's going to suck and be awful look for the franchise, not Preller, but you know, the front off or the ownership group fighting over a $1.5 million, losing Profar to a very fair deal that, you know, Peter would have made, and potentially trading Dylan Cease. So yikes.
I don't know the answer to this, JD Goucher, and thank you. Appreciate the super chat tonight. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. It's a decent question. He says off topic, why doesn't baseball hire college coaches like the NFL or the NBA does? Some would make for good professional hitting or pitching coaches. I mean, there's examples of guys that have definitely been coaches in college baseball.
They did.
That have...
The Padres, remember Matt Bedard, I think is? No.
Oh, did they hire him from like...
Michigan.
Yeah, I know. From Michigan?
Yeah, I forget his name. Was it Matthew Bedard?
I don't know.
Probably could be completely
wrong. Someone put
it
in the chat if they remember.
No, it wasn't, but it was some weird... It was spelled weird.
Mm-hmm. I kind of remember that, dude. Just a few years ago?
Yeah, he was from Michigan.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. I think there are
examples. Hitting coaches and stuff, for sure. Yeah, managers? That's tough.
Yeah, you're not going to go from the manager of the University of Arizona to managing the Arizona Diamondbacks, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. But yeah, it does happen. You're right. In the NFL, it does happen in the NBA. But yeah, it doesn't happen as much in Major League Baseball. All right, Jim, why don't we do this again tomorrow on the radio from 2 to 6?
Okay.
Is that a good idea? All right, guys, we pulled within 64 subscribers live of 8,000 with your help on replay. Please subscribe. You're on content for Padres and baseball fans. We're talking about throughout the highs and lows of a season. Good times, bad times, in season, out of season. Please subscribe to the wrap-up show. We've been with you for the better part of 4 years on YouTube, for the better part of 5+ seasons on radio and YouTube on the wrap-up show. So subscribe, year on content for baseball and Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. That helps with the algorithm. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Like Miss Do-It-All says, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. If you're here, we appreciate the memberships as well. You can click that join button down below. We will see you tomorrow on the radio, San Diego Sports 760, iHeartRadio app. We're on YouTube. Search for John and Jim 760, 2 to 6, talking about the latest and greatest related to the San Diego Padres. All right, for Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. We'll catch up tomorrow at 2 p.m. Peace.
Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.